Here in New Jersey, you've been hearing a lot about the county ballot line in the news. Maybe you've been unaware about how candidates are placed on the ballot for elections. And even if you were, did you really understand the situation this process created with primary elections? Many candidates and voting rights organizations have been calling for an end to the county ballot line. A judge recently gave them what they wanted. Question is, will that hold? What does the here and now at least give to those running for office? Here to examine all this is an associate professor, associate dean of academic programs, director of the public policy program with the Edward J. Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy, which is centered at Rutgers, New Brunswick. She has also been a vocal opponent through her studies and reports about the county ballot line, Professor Julia Sass Rubin. How are you today, Professor?
Good. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Learn more about the Edward J. Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy at Rutgers, blaustein.rutgers.edu. And yes, we do have that link at our homepage as well. Let's start with the basics, Professor, just for people to have a full understanding. What is, or I guess we can now say, what has been the county line?
Well, it's not done yet. So the county line is a structure of a primary ballot that is unique to New Jersey, I discovered in my research. And what it does is it groups candidates not based on the office that they're looking for, which is how the rest of the country does it. You know, they would have the position, let's say president, and beneath that all the candidates in that party would be listed in hopefully some random order for fairness. That's not how we do it. Our primary ballots are organized based on endorsement from the county party organization. So let's say Mercer County Democrats have endorsed a set of candidates for each position. Those candidates are then shown together on the ballot in either a vertical or a horizontal line, and they have a matching slogan beneath their name. And everybody else is elsewhere on the ballot in other columns or rows, sometimes with blank columns or rows between them and these endorsed candidates, which are on this, what's known as the county line. And the reason that this matters is that it really affects how candidates perform. So the ballot structure, the way it's designed, gives an overwhelming advantage to candidates who are on the county line. That's what my research has shown, a double-digit advantage. And for non-incumbents, it's a much larger advantage. So I found that it can range anywhere from 13 to 83 percentage points in terms of how candidates did when they were on the county line versus when they had an opponent on the county line in the same contest, because you can have split endorsements in different counties. You know, one county can endorse one person, another county can endorse a different person in the same contest. So it has a really substantial impact on who wins.
As well as, too, when we see, when candidates have seen they were going to be sent to ballot Siberia, as it's been become to be known as, we've had candidates just say, okay, I can take a hint, I'm out of here, and they will just drop out.
Yeah, we have a low rate of contested races, especially for our legislative and county positions where the county line is most powerful because voters don't tend to know those candidates very well. And so you do see people dropping out after they, if they don't get the endorsement and they know they're not going to have the line, they just say, I'm not going to run. And that's really unfortunate because that means voters are left without real choices. So, again, we're unique in this respect. No other state does it this way. And this has given our county political parties a tremendous amount of power and has facilitated the ongoing survival and strength of political machines who use that power to kind of further their own objectives, not necessarily the ideas that the party is intended to pursue. So, and the reason I said that it's not over is that what the judge ruled is that Democrats in the 2024 primary, have to use a ballot like the rest of the country, what's known as an office block ballot, which, again, puts everybody beneath the position they're seeking in a random order. The Republicans do not have to do that this cycle because there were no Republican plaintiffs in the lawsuit that challenged the county line. And so, and it's only for this cycle. So it's conceivable that the county line would return next June for the next primary. It's unlikely because we have a governor's race in 2025, and two of the three declared candidates have already said they're against the county line. So you would certainly expect to see more legal challenges to it. And then there's an underlying lawsuit, which was filed in 2020, which is challenging the county line. But that is moving very slowly. This ruling was based on an emergency request by Congressman Andy Kim for this particular primary. So the underlying lawsuit is still kind of moving through the system, but it's taking a long time to do it. So it's not over, but it's certainly wounded.
I do want to say, too, that there are two counties that do not use the county ballot line process, Sussex and Salem, which just further demonstrates how jigsaw puzzle the political system is in New Jersey. It is kind of weird. Normally we have contested elections after the election, not before. But again, we're in New Jersey, so I guess one can expect that. And ironically, Representative Andy Kim is now technically, or could have been technically, a beneficiary of the ballot process that he was vocally opposed to.
Yes, he received the line after Tammy Murphy dropped out of the U.S. Senate race. He was given the line in almost all the counties where she had been awarded the line. Not all of them, but he chose to stick with his initial position, which was that there should not be a county line, and he stayed as a plaintiff in the lawsuit, and that was obviously very helpful. If he had dropped out of the lawsuit, that would have been much more difficult to get this ruling, because he represented all the counties, because he's running for the U.S. Senate. The two other plaintiffs in the lawsuit were running for Congress, for the House of Representatives, so they would not have covered the entire state.
In the primary, Representative Kim has two opponents, Larry Hamm, a community organizer, and labor activist Patricia Campos Medina, who were not likely to have much of much traction, if any, in the race. Is it going to be interesting to watch exactly what the numbers wind up being? Because if one or both slip into a high single, maybe even a double-digit vote tally, then the argument you've long been making will get even more credibility.
Well, there won't be any county line in this contest. It's hard to know because you don't have a counterfactual. You don't know how they would have done if there was a county line, right? So if we look back at 2020, Senator Booker was running for reelection, and he won easily, and he was awarded the county line in every county. He chose not to use it in a couple of counties because he wanted to help Bridget Harrison, but he had tremendous name recognition, and he did. He got about 87% of the vote across the state. So running off the line, Larry Hamm, who was also running in that contest, got about 13% of the vote, if my memory serves me right. So it's not impossible to get votes off the line. It's just that the line provides a substantial double-digit advantage. And so it's hard to know in this contest because we're not going to have the comparison to if Congressman Kim was on the line in one county and not in another. He will not be on the line anywhere. So we won't be able to pull that kind of data from this contest.
Does the historic success of the county ballot line process demonstrate that New Jersey voters need to be more aware as opposed to just looking for the visual? They can't find what they were expecting and they just go for the obvious. And I guess I'm trying to say, the candidates have to go work for the voters.
And they do.
To bring them in, as opposed to just resting on their laurels, thinking, well, I got the prime real estate, so
yes.
Life just got real easy for me.
Absolutely. And that is a real problem in New Jersey, that there's no incentive for the candidates in the primary to work very hard to get the voters, because the party basically decides who's going to win before the election takes place, which is not how small d democracy is supposed to work. And I think because of that, you don't see a lot of outreach to voters until the general election. And most of the state is not competitive in the general election. So in much of the state, you really don't have outreach to voters ever. Because, you know, once you've won the primary in much of the state, you're going to win the general because one party or the other is so dominant. And that's really unfortunate. So in effect, in most of our congressional districts and most of our state legislative districts, it's a handful of people who are running county party organizations who are deciding who's going to represent us. It's not the voters. So we have a lot of redrawing kind of how elections are supposed to happen to do. And candidates are going to have to focus on the voters. They are going to have to reach out in the primaries and talk to the voters about their ideas. I think that one of the other consequences of our system is ideas really haven't mattered that much. Candidates don't really have to worry about the voters. They have to worry about staying in power and staying in the good graces of the party leaders, this handful of individuals. And so the parties don't necessarily reflect the identity of those parties in the rest of the country. I don't know if I'm being clear about what I'm trying to say. So, in other words, they might pursue positions that Democrats or Republicans in the rest of the country would not pursue, because it's not about those ideas in New Jersey. It's just about staying in the good graces of the party machines. And right. That's just a terrible way to run a democracy.
No, certainly making the point very clear. Someone who wants public office should be seeking the public, not the few.
Exactly. Exactly.
But unfortunately, as things go with New Jersey politics, we can't say period, end of sentence. It's more like a to be continued, and we'll see what the next chapter presents in all this. And see if the results of the June primary bring any more solid a foundation for the end of the county ballot line to come about, which, if a court doesn't do it, it would be left up to the state legislature. How likely would that be to come about?
Yeah. Yeah, my concern is that the state legislature will try to do something to intervene to keep this, not the county line, they won't be able to do that, but move to a system that's sort of a modified, you know, slightly better, but still gives the county organizations tremendous power, because the state legislature are the people who were elected under this system, right? And so some of them have stood up and said, no, the county line is terrible and we need a fair ballot. And my hat's off to those people. There are 5 state senators that have come forward and said this is a bad system. But there's a lot of state legislators who have not. They're afraid to annoy the party bosses. And this is the system that put them in power. And so my worry is that they will try to pass some kind of legislation that creates the next worst option that will, you know, still be legal.
Which brings it to you as the voter to not be a complacent voter, because that's what the county bosses are hoping for and counting on. But if you make an effort to go against the influence of the county ballot line, then maybe you too could play a role in bringing that policy to an end. We've been joined by Associate Professor, Associate Dean of Academic Programs, Director of the Public Policy Program at the Edward J. Blaustein School of Planning and Public Policy at Rutgers in New Brunswick, blaustein.rutgers.edu, their website. Professor Julia Sass-Rubin, thank you so much for helping us get an understanding of the importance of this issue, and hopefully fair, equitable elections will come to pass in New Jersey sooner versus later. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.